Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Nerds Podcast. If you have not already, make sure you listen to yesterday's first, because otherwise you're picking up in the middle of a draft, which is really hard to follow if you're picking up in round seven. People might like that, you know, some type of Christopher Nolan film version of watching this or listening to this. But most people, I think, would prefer to start with pick one. I don't know. But we got Matt O'Hara. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I think if we were doing Christopher Nolan, we would have had to start it at 15. Is that right? Is that how they always say? Yeah, maybe.
Christopher Nolan.
Maybe just start in the middle,
yeah,
jump to 15, and then go back to the first round?
Nothing surprises me with him anymore. So...
yeah,
I think all of it's on the table, you know.
Yeah,
do it in whatever order feels right.
Was it Tenet? Tenet was the one that was mind-numbingly backwards and weird.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where I actually liked it, but I know a lot of people did not like it. It is a tough one to follow, but his very first film, I think it was his first, not directing, but his first that he wrote, I don't know, something like that. It's the one where the whole film is completely backwards, like from beginning to end. Why am I blanking on the name now?
It's Memento, right?
Memento. Yep, that's it.
Is it Memento? Okay.
Yeah, yep.
And the guy's like tattooing stuff on him and all sorts
of
crazy stuff.
Because he can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good movie. Anyway.
It was a good movie, actually.
It was. I liked it. All right. But you did not come here to listen to Christopher Nolan talk, although I could talk about Inception and Interstellar, movies like that all day. We came here to finish up this.
I haven't seen Interstellar.
Draft. You've never seen it?
Is Interstellar a good one? No. Is it a good one?
Oh, some would say it's his best.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. I'll have to go check it out.
Yeah.
It's
basically... The earth is decaying and falling apart, and they have to figure out an alternative to Earth, basically. And so they have this space mission, but it deals with black holes and the effect of gravity on time, and so lost time depending on, like, it's wild. It's really so it's wild, but it's good.
Directed by Christopher Nolan, executive producer Elon Musk. Is that what's going on?
Basically.
Okay, all right.
But you get Matthew McConaughey, so hey, you know, pretty good stuff.
All right.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, Dynasty Nerds, it's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you, with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is the perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
All right, so we are in round number seven. you guys probably just listened to the previous one. We're not going to go through everybody's, but quick recap of my team and Matt's team and Jared's team. Mine, just assume if it's a quarterback, it's on my team. Through six rounds, I have Patrick Mahomes, Jahmyr Gibbs, Dak Prescott, Michael Pittman Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and Kirk Cousins. Matt has Joe Burrow, Sam Laporta, Brock Purdy, Devon Achane, and T. Higgins. And J-Wack, he's got Justin Jefferson, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jonathan Taylor, the 101-25, Justin Fields, and Devonta Smith. So, Matt, we'll let you we'll let you take it away here in round seven.
All right. I also have Smith and Jigba, Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Did I skip it? I apologize.
I think you stopped at T against, but that's okay.
Maybe I did.
So seven.
You don't get as many players.
Yeah, maybe. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
You didn't know you traded seven, that pick. You didn't know it, but you did.
I didn't know. Shoot. I really wanted that player. 7-1. Right off the board was Rashad White. You know, obviously coming off a pretty decent season last year. I don't think any of us on the podcast really like his long-term value, but he's going to be there. He's going to be in a similar role probably next year and maybe even the following year. So he is a hashtag 2 to 3 year window guy. And so I see the value there at 7-1. It's not a bad pick or anything like that. I just prefer guys that I could see a little bit more of a future for. So I wouldn't have picked him, probably period. But not a bad pick. 7-2, Deontay Johnson. Sorry.
This
is actually your pick. So go ahead. Explain the pick here.
Yeah. Looking at Matt Harmon's reception perception data, by all accounts, Deontay Johnson should have had a fantastic year last year. But they just didn't have good quarterback play to get him the ball. They didn't have great offensive line play. There's just a lot of things that went wrong in Pittsburgh, but he was still getting open at a very, very good rate. I expect him to still get open at a very, very good rate in Carolina. And despite my concerns around Bryce Young, which they've been noted on the podcast, we're not team Bryce Young necessarily. I don't think that it can be much worse than what happened in Pittsburgh last year. And we saw a guy like Adam Thielen just got force-fed targets. And I think that's what's going to happen with Deontay Johnson here. So it was funny because according to the ADP, I reached a little bit here to get Deontay Johnson. And to be honest, I would have been maybe even willing to take him a little bit higher. So maybe my outlook on Deontay Johnson is slightly different than other people's, but I really like this player. Even though I have four quarterbacks, I'm not mad about him being my wide receiver 2. I would like for him to be my wide receiver 3, but I'm not furious about him being my wide receiver 2.
Yeah, and I think there's, you know, you pick a guy here and he's your second wide receiver that is chosen, but he could end up slotting depending on how things go later on in the draft. If you pick somebody with some higher upside or something like that, he could end up slotting into your wide receiver 3 spot.
Sure.
So you could, or, you know, a year from now when you draft in the first round, somebody, you know, everyone naturally kind of falls into place and everything kind of clicks. So it's a nice pick. I actually really like Deontay Johnson. I think what he does well is get open quickly and is able to, you know, do things, just catch the ball, get open in short areas, catch the ball close to the line of scrimmage, do a little something after, nothing crazy. But when he was really effective is when he had a really low A dot and he was getting peppered a lot of targets and Big Ben was getting the ball out of his hands super fast. And those are all things that I think Bryce Young is good at. Like, he's good at getting the ball out fast. He knows he processes well. He just doesn't have a big arm to get it downfield. You don't need to with guys like Adam Thielen and Deontay Johnson. So Bryce Young, while I don't like him, I think they're putting the pieces around him to make him successful, which is an encouraging sign. You know, it looks like they actually kind of know what they're doing there in Carolina. I like the direction they're going. I don't necessarily love Bryce Young as a quarterback prospect because I think he's got some limitations, but it looks like they're at least self-aware enough as an organization to know these are his limitations. Now let's get him guys that can do some things that highlight his strengths. His strengths are, you know, he's smart. He can get the ball accurately close to the line of scrimmage. Let's get him guys that operate close to the line of scrimmage. So I think the Deontay Johnson stuff makes a lot of sense from just a schematic standpoint for a quarterback like that. But also from your standpoint of picking him here, I think he's going to get a lot of targets, and that equals a lot of fantasy points in a PPR format. So why not take him here? I think this is a nice spot for him. He's only 27 years old. It's not like it seems like he's been around forever,
right?
But you could have another 3 or 4 years with this guy pretty easily. And it's not like he wins because he's blazing fast. He's quick and he gets open coastal line of scrimmage. And that's kind of usually the last thing to go. So I like that pick. At 7-3, the next player was George Pickens, another guy that honestly probably I would have considered if he had come back to me. I was considering him the round before as a guy I might want to grab there as my wide receiver too. So this is a nice pick here. He's really the de facto number one there as of right now. So
yeah,
I think what Russell Wilson brings to the table will fit George Pickens pretty nicely. I think that'll be a match made in heaven. He's not afraid to throw it up to guys, and George Pickens is a guy that I think is going to quickly gain his trust in a guy that can win those matchups. He can win those my ball type of scenarios, and Russell's going to feel okay throwing the ball to him. So that's a nice pick there. He has, I think, some nice, you know, high-end wide receiver two upside potential coming up this season. So that's a nice pick. 7-4, Stephon Diggs. Listen, we're starting to get into the pick your flavor type of guy. Stephon Diggs is a fine player. He's just a little bit older. Are you willing to take that kind of step? If so, that's a nice pick. You know what I mean? So this is a team that the prior pick was Josh Jacobs. So now he's gone Josh Jacobs, Stephon Diggs. It feels like he's already got Christian McCaffrey on this team as well. So this feels like I'm trying to make my push type of move here with Stephon Diggs at 7-4. And then at 7-5, do you know how to pronounce this guy's name? I haven't got Adonai. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Adonai Mitchell. So he is the fifth wide receiver taken. Not a guy I've covered at all yet. So I don't have much to say on this pick. I know, you know, at this point, you're either looking young or kind of old, and the in-betweens are just kind of blah. So not a bad pick in that it's a rookie with some upside, right? That's as far as I'm able to kind of analyze that right now until I dig into the film, but not bad. And now we bounce back to the older guy, right? So the next pickup at 7-6 is Deebo Samuel. You know, obviously you're not going to poo-poo that too much. If he got to me, I may have taken him just because I want to kind of bolster the base of my wide receiver core a little. He didn't make it to me. So at my pick, I ended up taking the third pick in 2025. I felt like this was the time to go out and get him. Some of the guys that had just gone ahead of me were really guys I was eyeballing and hoping were going to come to me, and they didn't make it to me. So I'm punting. I'm going to the 2025 draft, making sure I can get a top three guy. And to me, that's, you know, I've got two good quarterbacks. I've got a Joe Burrow. I've got Brock Purdy, but I really only have Devon Achane at running back. And I know it's not supposed to be a great wide receiver draft, but it's supposed to be a really good running back draft. So at this point in the draft, I'm thinking at the very worst, it's a running back. But as a top three pick, it's probably going to be a quarterback, and I'll be able to get a third quarterback here, which will be really nice.
Yeah, I think that was really good value considering that pick one went at 4-3, and pick two went at 5-1. So we're talking 2.5 rounds since the last rookie pick, and we have no idea what the tiers are going to be. It almost played out like there's a big tier gap between pick two and pick three. We have no idea. The tier gap could be between pick one and pick two. It could be between pick four and pick five. We have no idea. So for you to get just one pick lower, 2.5 rounds later, I think was really, really good value.
So did I. And obviously the person who picked right after me thought it was really good value as well. They went the very next pick. So it went back to back, you know, 1-3, 1-4 in the 2025 draft. And then it went 7-9, Isaiah Pacheco. For me, a little bit early, for a guy that's really just, he's not a PPR machine. He's just a volume guy. So I didn't love that pick. It is, you know, obviously personal choice there. Somebody that was their first running back as well. So they might've just been kind of seeing all the names dwindling and not really liking some of the other options. And they just latched on to Pacheco. And again, this was a fast draft and things happen quickly. And if two picks go real fast back to back and all of a sudden you're on the clock,
panic.
Sometimes the panic, it's real. It's that's in. So I'll cut them a little bit of slack, you know, due to the panic situations, who knows? Or maybe they just really like Isaiah Pacheco. That's maybe. Fine as well.
They need a running back.
Right, for sure. And at 7'10", Ladd McConley, another guy, another wide receiver that I have not covered yet, but I've heard nothing but good things about him. So I understand why they would take this player here. You know what I mean? There's either took, old.
Took McConkey, yep.
Oh, yes, it was, wasn't it? Ladd McConkey. So another young guy for him. He does have an odd team. We're going to have to go over that at the end. He has got an odd team. He's going to defend himself. Like I said, he's going to win now. He's going to win later at some point. But at 7'11", it was Bryce Young, and then 7'12", Baker Mayfield. At this point in the draft, that's where these guys are going to start coming off the board, right? So I think those are good picks. I don't love Bryce Young, but I still think it's a solid pick at the back end of the seventh round.
Nerds, listen up. This is your last chance to take advantage of our free year offer through our promotion with Underdog Fantasy. Deposit at least $10 with Underdog using a promo code NERDS and receive a free one-year membership to Nerd Herd and the Dynasty GM bundle subscription to Dynasty Nerds. So you get everything we've always been talking about for a $10 deposit on Underdog using that promo code NERDS. This offer closes on April 30th, so don't miss out. We are almost through all our rookie breakdowns, and right now you can take advantage of these insights by drafting best ball teams, including this 2024 rookie class. Draft your team and don't worry about setting a lineup, making trades, or paying attention to the waiver wire. Use your leg up on these rookies against your competition. Remember, deposit at least $10 at Underdog using a promo code NERDS, and you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100 and a one-year free Dynasty GM and Nerd Herd bundle membership. Hurry up. This offer closes on April 30th. Must be 18 plus, 19 plus in Alabama, Nebraska, 21 plus in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live on Sleeper right now. The Dynasty so GM, pretty. You use the analyzer, that you can use nice. the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you gotta do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and have a good time. You have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot. It is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check out our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate
set. Absolutely. Going into pick 8, Dupree, he's got his third quarterback now, so he went from one of the last guys to take a quarterback to. He's filled out his quarterback room. He's got Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Will Levis, Goff is the safe guy. Baker Mayfield had a good year last year, but new offensive coordinator. And then you're hoping for a little bit of upside with Will Levis. Joe Mixon goes at pick 8-2 to coach Stephen P. And then Jared, I liked this pick. I thought this was a good pick. It was one that made a lot of sense. He's taking a chance on Michael Penix. And when you look at where the rest of the quarterbacks go, the last projected first-round quarterback went at pick 5-2. He went off the board here at 8-3. And I'll be honest, had he made it to pick 8-11, he was getting taken too. All right?
Team Dynasty QB Price.
Oh, man, I would have had so many trades I had to make. But I think that he, if I had to project, somebody asked me this question. I thought it was an interesting one. Which do you think is more likely? I think right now most people think there'll be four quarterbacks that go in the first round. Do you think it's more likely that only three end up going in the first round or that five end up going in the first round? And I think it's far more likely that five were to go in the first round. I think there's enough teams that could use a guy like Michael Penix, a guy that, look, if you wanted to sit for a year or two, you could. But obviously he's a little bit of an older quarterback, so he's ready to go right now. Pretty mature guy. He's got an NFL arm. And I know people are, some people really like Penix, some people don't really like Penix, but he has enough really positive traits that it wouldn't surprise me if there's one or two teams that really like him. So I, at this point, would be surprised if he falls out of the first round. If he does, I can't imagine him falling past the first 10 picks of the second round. So I think that there's a good chance that he could be a fantasy-relevant quarterback sooner rather than later.
So, I mean, who needs quarterbacks? It's obviously the guys up at the top. New England needs a quarterback.
Washington
needs a quarterback.
Chicago.
Obviously Chicago, they need one. Yeah.
But then after that, you have Minnesota.
Oakland needs one. Oakland, Minnesota, they both need quarterbacks. So, or I Las mean, Vegas, we got the five. Well, Oakland could use one, too. They have
Oakland
no
doesn't
players.
Have one, to be fair. That is true.
Got no players.
Potentially
so we
Seattle.
We got the five. Yeah, we got the five without even thinking hard, right? Seattle. Yeah. I mean, what's happening with Dak over in Dallas? Do they draft a guy to screw with him? Who knows? So, you know, we're easily 6-7. Yeah, so chances are pretty good, and I think that it's a good enough crop of quarterbacks. I might have my questions, but I think NFL teams themselves, they get hungry for quarterbacks, yeah. And they'll find guys, and this is the time of the year where these guys get pushed up artificially, I think, in some instances. Maybe some of their warts are kind of overlooked just because it's such a big need. So, yes, I would lean towards this being one of those drafts where five guys go before only three go. I do think it'll probably be before, to be fair. But sure. If you're making me choose one of those, I would choose five. Yep.
Well, and it wouldn't shock me, too, if two teams that don't necessarily need a quarterback this year, but their quarterbacks are getting a little long in the tooth in the Rams and the Jets. You know, Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford, neither one of those guys are spring chickens. It wouldn't shock me at all if they, in round two, said, hey, we're getting this guy as a potential guy of the future and see how that plays out. So there's definitely plenty of spots for him to go and be relevant pretty soon.
Absolutely, man. So where are we at in this thing?
8-4, I think. I think it's you.
You're doing the eighth.
Or is it
round.
Me? Am I doing it? Oh, yeah, it is my turn. Yeah, we switched. I was like, I have all the odds. Nope, I have the evens now. We switched. DeAndre Swift goes at pick 8-4. I like that pick actually more than the Isaiah Pacheco pick the round before, so I think that was a good good selection there. My boy Javonte went at 8-5. I'm sure he would have been on your list had he been there one pick later.
So this was I'm up next at 8-6, and Javonte Williams went directly before me, and this was the snake of the draft for me. I had my mind set on him. I was going to pick him, and then he was taken, and I started scrambling. I'm like, oh crap! I was like, I got it. I was like, all right, I'm going to go for one of these rookies. Then fine. So then I'm flipping through the list. I'm trying to find him. They're sorted all goofy. Sometimes that happens in the sleeper. You're trying to sort too fast, and all of a sudden it sorts by rushing touchdowns or some random stat or something. And so I couldn't find, so I don't find it. I found Trey Benson. I couldn't find Marshawn Lloyd. I have Lloyd, like I said on the last podcast, 0.05 points higher right now in my nerd score. It is, ridiculous. So I picked Trey Benson. I got crap from Jared. He said, wrong running back. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. I got the other guy higher. But honestly, I was scrambling. We got this 1 minute clock. I couldn't find anybody. Yeah. I found Trey Benson. And I picked him. I was like, all right, I know I like this guy. He's really good. This will work. Fine. I like him. So that's how I ended up with Trey Benson and not Marshawn Lloyd, even though Lloyd is slightly higher in my rankings right this second.
Which definitely made me sad because that's who I had my eyeball on there. So two running backs I really liked going back to back. And guess what? Two more running backs I really like went with the next two picks in Najee Harris and Tyjae Spears. So now my heart was just getting broken into millions and millions of pieces. Mike Evans goes at 8-9, Cooper Kupp at 8-10. So two older wide receivers, but can definitely help some teams win now. I'm up, and this was the first case of me kind of scrambling at this point. Something happened, and I had to like text somebody or something. I don't remember what it was. And so I'm sitting there with Denise on the couch, and I'm doing the draft, and I get a text from Jared, you're up. I'm like, oh, crap. And so I pulled, I had like 20 seconds left. I don't know 1,000,000% sure that this would have been my pick. I don't hate it. It's not a pick that I hate, but I don't know with 1,000,000% certainty that this was the guy I was going to take. But the upside's certainly there. I ended up going with Christian Watson at pick 8-11. Look, it is a total risk reward play here with Christian Watson. We've seen times where Christian Watson looks unstoppable. But really the biggest thing that has stopped him hasn't as much been defenses as it has been his hamstrings. His hamstrings, like, dude is just constantly dinged up and really, really frustrating. But if he can stay healthy, we know Jordan Love really likes him, and big plays are definitely abundant in his game. So he went there, and then the second rookie running back off the board, not the one I expected, though. There were a couple guys that I could have seen.
Yeah.
But Blake Corum was the second rookie running back off the board at pick 8-12.
Yeah, big time. Just like you, I was a little bit surprised that he was the second one off the board. I don't hate it. I think he's a good running back. I'm not going to sit there and knock it. I don't think it's a terrible pick or anything like that. But at 9-1, that person backed up Blake Corum with a David Montgomery pick. So they're going real running back heavy this first team. Last three picks have been Rashad White, Blake Corum, and then David Montgomery. So they're really building something there. I think getting a pretty solid core there. David Montgomery obviously is just in the perfect situation there in Detroit. Score a lot of touchdowns. They really know how to use him much better than they ever did in Chicago. Anyway, so nice fantasy producer there. And then you're back up at 9-2.
Yeah, and I had two running backs that I had planned on going with. I figured one of them was going to go, and neither of them went. And similar to you, where you have just a negligible difference, I have a negligible difference. In fact, there's no difference nerd score wise for me between Jonathan Brooks and Marshawn Lloyd. And I hem-hawed a lot back and forth between these two guys. But really what it came down to is I said, if I had
this guy's got the
drafts,
knee injury.
Yeah, I like guys with knee
so
injuries
I'm gonna
more.
Take him.
I mean, they both do. One's just more recent, no, you know. Want the more recent
more,
knee
yeah,
injury.
One's fresh right yeah, now. It's yeah, happening.
Really feeling that one. I looked at it and said, if I had 100 drafts, I think I would take Brooks in 51 of them. And I would take Marshawn Lloyd in 49. I think he's just got a little bit more on tape just by a hair that leads me to believe that he could really be a solid contributor long term for fantasy football. But it was literally like a coin flip. So
yeah, dude, it's a nice pick. I mean, I like Jonathan Brooks there. Obviously I do have a couple of guys ahead of him, but I'm not going to knock anybody for taking Jonathan Brooks. I think he's a very solid player. For me, the knee injury is a little bit of a bummer because, you know, you got to temper expectations a little bit for this season, I think.
Right.
Just because, you know, instead of getting prepped for the NFL, he's rehabbing his knee. I think it's going to be a little bit of a difference, and he's probably gonna have a little bit of a slow start to the season as well. So, you know, that always makes it hard, especially when he's your second running back. The last guy you had was Jahmyr Gibbs all the way up there in the second round. Right. So that's that big would gap. Probably have been enough to have me lean the other way towards Marshawn Lloyd. But like I said, I get it. No big deal. And then 9-3, Xavier Worthy, the new champion at the 40-yard dash.
He fast.
He's so fast. You know, he's I think he's 5'10", maybe 165, 170 pounds or something like that. But he absolutely blazed. And to be able to get somebody like that here, I think is a nice upside pick. Who knows where he's going to go? I think, you know, that's going to depend a lot on what his value is for fantasy football. But now with all the unknowns, you know, you're just taking a guy that you think can make an impact in the NFL. And with that kind of speed, he can. So I like the pick there. And then 9-4 was Lloyd finally went, Marshawn Lloyd. So that's a really nice pick. I was really hoping he would get back to me at this point so I could right my wrong from earlier.
Both guys.
Jared was just making too much of a stink on the message board, so I kind of figured he wouldn't make it back. And he didn't. Yeah, and he didn't. So that's no big deal. 9-5, Christian Kirk. You know, obviously at this point in the draft, this is a pretty nice pick. You know, when Calvin Ridley's not there, Christian Kirk has done really well. So obviously we don't know who else is going to step up there, but I would expect early on, especially it's going to be Christian Kirk. It's going to be Evan Ingram kind of filling those shoes and to a lesser extent, a Zay Jones and a Parker Washington. But I expect Christian Kirk to really kind of shine here. And, you know, they signed what's his name as well from Buffalo.
Oh, Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis will be Gabe Davis. You know what I mean? He'll stretch the field. He'll make the occasional big play, but I don't think from a fantasy perspective that does much to affect a Christian Kirk or an Evan Ingram who are living off an abundance of targets. Yeah. So that's a nice pick. 9-6, Amari Cooper, not a bad pick there as well. And then at 9-7, I went and picked the 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth pick in the 2025 draft. So in two rounds before, I got the third, and really it was the person right after me that was like, I want to get that fourth round. And then it went dry again. I couldn't believe it. I'm staring at the fifth pick in the 2025 draft. So I gobbled it up. And really this pick now, and the pick before mine, the round before this, I was able to get a running back, you know, in Trey Benson. So that almost solidifies the fact that I'm most likely going to be taking a quarterback with the third pick. Mm-hmm. And now with this fifth pick, I can do whatever I want. You know what I mean? This is like a joker. I can do whatever the heck I want. I can go whatever direction I want. If there is a high end running back there, I can get another high end running back and really have Achan, Trey Benson, and another third guy. It's like I mentioned before, it's not supposed to be a great wide receiver draft, but if the top guy is there staring me in the face, this would be a great place to grab him at the fifth pick.
There are a couple guys in Stewart from Texas A&M and Luther Burden from Missouri. So there's definitely some names. It's not completely talent devoid. It's just not going to be quite this level.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Emeka Buka from Ohio State is going to be in the draft next year. Yeah. So who knows? One of those guys might be there at the fifth round, at the fifth pick. And that might really solidify my long-term, you know, look at, as far as maybe he's the guy that goes up to that number one spot and kind of dinks everyone else right into where they're supposed to be, as far as T. Higgins and Jackson Smith and Jigba. So at the 9-8 pick, it was Terry McLaurin. 9-9, Jalen Wright. He was a guy that I was considering when I picked the 105 in the 2025 draft. So I really like Jalen Wright, just an explosive guy out of Tennessee. So we'll see where he ends up landing, but I like his upside. And then 9-10, it was Matthew Stafford. 9-11, Derrick Henry. 9-12, Alvin Kamara. So this is kind of all the people that went wide receiver early. And now, you know, JWack has got Justin Fields, he's got Michael Penix, and he's backed him up with Matthew Stafford. So I think he's kind of solidified things a bit there at the position. Obviously, Stafford is going to be in his starting lineup for the next couple of seasons,
right?
At the least, to kind of solidify that. So that's nice. And depending on where Penix goes, it might be those two guys that he's starting this coming season. So I think he's done a good job of kind of righting that ship a little bit. As far as waiting so long to get quarterbacks, and Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara at this point in the draft, you know, I like the Kamara pick probably a little bit more than the Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a good fit for the very, very short term. And I think Alvin Kamara's probably got a little bit more gas in the tank, than Henry. But I mean, a win now type of move, you know, for both those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we ended up going 15 rounds. We're already a half hour into the show, and we've only gotten through three more. So we're gonna double time it a little bit here through kind of the rest of it.
All right.
But round 10, and you know what? Maybe, Matt, maybe we just go through round 10, and then we kind of just talk about our individual teams and wrap it up. The rest of the teams, if you want to hop on YouTube, you can see what the rest of the teams look like. But finishing up in round 10 here, D per T, he ended up going with Chris Godwin, which seemed pretty far for Chris Godwin to fall. Thought that was a good value pick there. Daniel Jones ended up going at 10-2. And then Marquise Hollywood Brown, another pick for Jared here, where this was probably, I think, one of the picks I liked of his the most. I get it that this is more of a win now pick, and so it's tough to know, is he trying to win now? Is he trying to go for the future? It's not 100% clear, but I think it's a good value for somebody that could have crazy upside this season paired up with Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
So 10th round, yep. I think that's good value. We had Jameson Williams go at pick 410. I'm still without a tight end at this point, and Cole Kmet goes at 10-5. So, you know, that broke my heart. And then Matt, you're up at 10-6.
Yeah. So at this point I was looking for something. I mentioned that some of those rookie picks, 2025 picks, I might be able to get a wide receiver to kind of solidify my wide receiver room. I ended up just grabbing a guy in the 10th round, Devontae Adams, staring me in the face. I just thought he presented too much value, and 100%. He would do what I needed him to do, which was solidify that room and kind of slot everyone kind of where they need to be, as far as T. Higgins now in my wide receiver 2, Jackson Smith and Jigba is now in my wide receiver 3 range, and everything feels more natural. And, you know, if I say this team was 5 years ago, I would feel like, all right, this is a championship win now team, and I've got Devontae Adams. So if it works out that I'm winning during the season, I keep him. If not, then I move him. You know, it's just that simple. He just becomes a trade piece if I'm not doing well during the season.
Absolutely. Jake Ferguson goes at 10-7. Then we have pick, I'm trying to think, what is this, 1-6 in Koo?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 1-6, yep. 1-6. Off the board for 2025. A-Rod goes, so this is that team's third quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, you can do a lot worse than A-Rod as your third quarterback. He goes off the board at 10-9. Keenan Allen, the savvy veteran. It will be interesting to see how people value him. Obviously, he doesn't have much long-term value, but short-term this year, he's been so consistently good. But new environment, new situation. He's got DJ Moore there. We'll see what chemistry he has with the presumed number one overall pick in Caleb Williams. So that'll be a really interesting one to see. I am then up, and I took the 107 in 2025. I do tend to have overall a younger team. My quarterbacks are, you could look at any two or three and say it's a young team, and the other two or three and say it's an older team. But it's
got so many.
I have so many quarterbacks, so I could, you know, I can do whatever I want. So this at 107, if it's anything like this year, there's still some solid players left on the board at 107. It's not always that deep where you're gonna, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys deep in a first round. But over the years, that middle of the first round is usually still some pretty solid players on the board. So felt decent about that there. Troy Franklin, the rookie out of Oregon, goes at pick 10-12. So what we'll do here at this point is I'm going to share my screen. So that way the people on the YouTubes, they can hop over here and they can see not only our entire draft, but they can also see the draft of all of the other guys as well. So I'll share my screen. And as you can see, we'll go through, we might as well finish up my team because we are on this end. At pick 11-12, I had Calvin Ridley. I don't know about you, Matt, but I thought this was really good value here. They talked today about him being in the Ja'Marr Chase role of Cincinnati's offense, and obviously hearing that, his value would have jumped around had it been a day later that we did this draft, but it wasn't. A little bit on the older side. I think he's either turning 29 or 30, so he's not a young pup at all, but still a couple good years left in him. We'll see how him and Will Levis kind of pair up. Finally got myself a tight end. Chances are I'll be using one or two of these quarterbacks to trade for a tight end and or a running back. But right now, Pat Freiermuth, totally fine with him being my top tight end. They just lost an asset in Deontay Johnson. And I just don't like paying up for quarterback unless it's an elite guy. So, you know, once Andrews was off the board, I didn't want to spend any picks on tight ends. I would rather wait. And so I did and took Pat Freiermuth at pick 12. Then I got what I think is, let's see, 108, 109, 110, 111. I got pick 112 in the 2025 draft. So two first round picks in 2025. So that's always good draft capital to do whatever I want to do with. If my team is, you know, say I trade a couple of these quarterbacks and we're winning, I'll trade some of these picks and get me some more win now pieces. If the team's struggling a little bit, I have some great draft capital and assets for next year, so felt good about getting the last first-round pick there. Rookie wide receiver, Ricky Parasol from Florida. A lot of hype around him. He's not one of the guys that I've dug into yet, so we'll see how I really feel about him after I dig in. And then I got Spencer Rattler at pick 15-2 because why the heck not? Let's get another quarterback.
It's a court. He had QB before his name, so why not, right?
Yeah, we're taking him.
All right, so moving on to me. In the 11th round, I was able to get Evan Engram, and I think this is a huge win for the 11th round. The guy had 114 receptions last year. This is a tight end premium league. So he's getting 1.5 per reception on 114 catches. That's pretty good. And I would expect that to I don't necessarily think it's going to go up with Calvin Ridley leaving, but I would expect that to be maintained at least. So I would expect very similar sort of stats for Evan Engram next year. In the 12th round, I was able to get Will Shipley. So the guy that we covered a week ago on the running back show, everyone kind of likes him. He's got some PPR upside. So he's a nice little, rookie what running back. Piece. We'll see how he goes. What'd you say?
A nice little what if piece.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the 13th round, I was able to get the first pick in the second round. I think everyone kind of went bananas there for a little bit and all the pick kind of went. And then everyone, you know, I think was assuming that we were done picking. But I was like, you know what? 2-1 still offers some nice upside. So I'm going to snag 100%. Him. Plus Mike Williams went right before I picked. So I obviously got snaked there. In the 14th round, I was able to get Courtland Sutton. I mean, he's the de facto number one there in Denver. Who knows what the quarterback situation is going to be, which is why he lasted this long, I'm guessing. But a guy that, you know, he's never going to be a wide receiver one for your fantasy team, but he could put up nice, you know, wide receiver two numbers. He's best as your wide receiver three. Yep. So I think I did a nice job kind of solidifying that for the next couple of seasons anyway. And then Dylan Laube, or however the heck you say his last name, was my last pick. Just another what the heck, who the heck knows. This guy has flashed a little bit in the PPR game. Type of pick here in the 15th round, just as a who knows what's going to stick type of thing.
Absolutely. Jared rounded out his draft. He went with Zamir White, which
this was one of my favorite. Yeah, this was one of my favorite picks. I honestly, if he would have gotten back to me, I would have taken him there instead of Will Shipley, who I got in the 12th round. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't pass up Evan Engram in the 11th round. I was looking at him. So I think that was a really nice pick in the 11th round.
Absolutely. Pick 109, I believe. Something like that. In 2025 there for J-Wack. Then he went with an older, more established running back in Austin Eckler. Got a guy that he likes in Bucky Irving. I wasn't the biggest Bucky guy, but I get it at this point in the draft. And then Dontavian Wicks, who showed a little bit for the Packers last season. So that kind of rounds out our drafts. Feel free to reach out to us. Let us know what you think of our drafts. Who did well? Who did not? Who didn't draft enough quarterbacks? Who maybe there's no way you could draft too many quarterbacks. So
two? No, yeah, absolutely not. Don't tell thing. Garrett.
Not a thing. All right. Well, that kind of wraps everything up. If you guys would head over to where you get your podcast, leave a rating and review. It does really help us out quite a bit on the show. Moves us up. We really appreciate when you do that. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you're subscribing to the Dynasty Nerds page. Make sure you head over there, leave comments, all that fun stuff. It does great things for the show. Other than that, I think we're going to be back next week, and we took this small hiatus from breaking down prospects, and we get to come back, Matt, and talk about some very, very exciting wide receivers.
Hey, man, I can't wait to get them. You know that wide receiver talk is my time of year, so I can't wait to dive in. And I got a lot of work to do. I know we took a week off and we said, oh, we're all going to get ahead, right? And I got about two prospects done. So I'm going to have to start digging in. I'm going to have to get after it this coming week. But this is my time of year, man. I love it.
Awesome. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Adios.